All right, we ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready.
Hold on 1 second.
Oh my. Jared's like, are you ready? All right, never mind.
Oh, that's a good one. All right, now are you ready?
Hold on a minute.
Oh my goodness.
Yes,
I'm that really ready. Is annoying. You're right. Are you ready now?
Yes, I'm ready. We're good to go, Jared.
You never said you were ready. All right, here we go. Hello there, vacationers and sightseers, tourists and excursionists. My name is Jared, and with me is my impulsive friend, Ian.
Whoa, that's me.
It's definitely you. We will be your hosts for the podcast. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Let's Go to Japan, designed by Josh Wood, artwork created by, and I apologize in advance for any mispronunciation, Chekhov, Kayleen Falls, Toshiyuki Hara, Magdalena Prückner, and Erica Ward, and published by Alderic Entertainment Group, or AEG.
Let's Go to Japan is a 1-4 player card drafting, engine building, tableau making, dream vacation planning, food eating, risk taking, ramen slurping, and energy train riding adventure game, where players will take 13 turns to plan their dream vacation to Japan. Once players plan their trips, they will score points based on your collection of icons and bonuses. The player with the most efficient plans and the most iconic trip will win the best trip planner. Let's go to Japan.
Wow.
How did you like that?
Wow. That was wild. That might be the best game blurb you've ever done. I loved it. I really felt the energy.
It only took me 20 seconds.
Incredible. All right, Ian.
Yep.
Do you plan out your vacations?
Oh, just like planning out each day like you would in this game and all that.
However you translate planning a vacation.
I would say, yes, in general, I plan out my vacations on like what I want to do each day. I don't get specific down to like each time of day. Like I don't break down every hour. I'm not wild with it, but I break down like, you know, if there's just the big things of the day that I want to do, then I put, you know, those are marked down. Or if there's a place I want to eat, it's like, I'll pick the things I want to do around that place I want to eat so that it's close.
Yeah.
But in general, I'm very flexible on it. If it's like a true trip, then I'm pretty flexible. If it's like we find something that we really like, or, you know, I do go for walks, which you'll do in this game, I'm totally down like for do that stuff. And a couple of vacations we've done, we've found one of my most favorite things was just walking around and finding something. So I feel like I plan my vacations how I play this game.
That makes sense, actually.
Yeah, I just kind of wing it sometimes. So, but what about you? I feel like you're definitely more on top of it than I am.
I am very much a planner too. I'm sure nobody's surprised at this point.
Not at all.
I have never understood people that have the capacity, the incredible ability to be able to just pick up and go one day and say, yeah, we're just going to go on vacation. I am incapable of doing that because I am so used to planning it out, putting together a good itinerary, also not down to the hour, but I do have a decent plan that can be flexed. See, I feel like that's part of the planning. I feel like part of the planning for your vacation is that it can be flexed out if you find something better.
Right.
I definitely like to build that in. I have gotten a little bit better over the years about being more loose of just, yeah, we'll just see. And I mean, to be fair, I'm putting on a front. I still know all of the options, but I'm trying to be more flexible with it as we go. But if we're going to like a gaming convention, like Gen Con, for example, I plan for everybody because they don't want to touch it. And I'm like, guys, I've got it. I'll do the whole weekend.
Yeah.
And I do probably have that planned out almost to the hour during the day.
Well, and that, so an event like that, I would be more strict with it. Like if the event itself is timed and there's specific things at specific times, like you have to be very intentional on your time. But if it's like a straight vacation, like we went to Boston years ago and there were a couple times where it's like, we have a general idea we want to do. We want to go to this place at the end of the day, but we don't really know what to do at the middle of the day. So let's just like walk around in this big area and find stuff to do. And I'm down for that. So,
but I mean, like, dude, there's people that go to Gen Con and do that. They're like, we'll just see what happens. And I'm like, how can you possibly do that?
Well, they must not have things that they like really just want to do. They just are going to be there. They just want time off of their work. Just want time
off. It works
off
for them, which I'm really happy that it does. I just don't understand it. But anyways.
Pretty wild. Well, since we are talking about Japan, I've never been and you've never been, but
I've not.
I have some. We're going to do a little quiz here. Do you know how many islands Japan consists of?
I'm going to say a lot.
I'm going to give you a hint. It's in the thousands, but like, try and guess like a whole number.
In the thousands? Are you sure?
It's thousands. Yes. I'm looking at it right now.
Is it at least like four digits or how many thousands are we talking about?
Yeah, okay, I'm just going to say it.
This is great audio.
Japan consists of 6,852 islands.
What?
Yeah, because they were all attached to the coast of Asia, so obviously there's a lot of probably small islands, but anyway, so that's a fun little thing there, ain't it?
That's incredible. I'm truly blown away.
Yeah.
Ian, do you have a favorite island?
Oh, yes, all of them. I can't pick one. They're too beautiful in their own way. I can't say that one's more than, you know, than the other.
I really would like to go to Japan. I was already kind of on that train anyways, because there's a lot of things from Japan that I really like, and I'd love to kind of get in that kind of culture for a little while. My sister-in-law is going to Japan here in a few weeks, and she's staying throughout the whole summer as like a study abroad kind of thing. I was just playing this game, man. I'm just like, this would be such a cool place to go visit. I just really want to check it out at some point in my life.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, again, this game definitely makes you want to go. And I have a couple friends who have gone and they love it. It's cheaper to eat there. And so they'll go and just eat. And it's great.
Nice.
But all the stuff that, you know, and they have a Universal Studios there. They have a Disney World there or Disneyland there. So there's like other like Americanized things or whatever, you know, there too, that you can see that are just different. And anyway, it's just very neat. It's a very neat place. The way the technology and the way obviously it's a very small place. So anyway, it's very interesting for sure. So super cool. Super cool place, and I would love to visit.
There's also a part of me that just really wants to walk into a Pokemon Center. I mean, I understand that it's just like merchandise inside, but just to be able to say that I've done that.
That's right.
I feel like that'd be a milestone.
A Pokemon Center. Exactly. Well, Jared, let's talk about this game.
Okay,
and,
good idea.
I want you to... we need to get on to that
part. Let's do it.
So let's go and talk. Let's just give me a basic rundown here, and let's talk about how this game plays, because I find it very, I don't know. This game is just different. It feels like many other games, but it just feels like nothing else. It's very interesting. So
yeah,
let's hit it.
So here's the deal. I'm going to do a game overview like we've talked about instead of more of a how to play for this one, because while I don't know that it's overly complex, I will say that explaining all the little bits and pieces, especially without you all seeing it, because this is an audio medium, I think it makes the most sense just for me to give you an overview. And then if this, you know, piques your interest, you can go find out how to play, which we'll have linked in the show notes.
I like it.
The goal of the game is to plan and enjoy a beautiful vacation in Japan. You'll hop on the train to bounce back and forth between the majestic city of Kyoto and the bustling city of Tokyo. Ultimately, the game will measure your success by scoring points in a variety of different ways. Each player has a personal player board. Each player board keeps up with the mood and stress level of your trip. It also tracks your full week from Monday to Saturday, and each day is given a different favorable condition. It also keeps up with your experiences, and there's give or take five different types of experiences with a little bit extra on top of this, but there's temples, food, shopping, nature, and unique experiences that cover the five different types of experiences that you can engage in this game of Let's Go to Japan. It also holds the cards that have been passed to you, because it is partly a drafting game like Ian talked about. So you're going to draw a certain number of cards each round. You will take one of those cards and put it into your itinerary for the week, and then you will give the other card to a different player depending on the round that you're in, and they will pick those cards up later, so they'll have multiple cards to pick from, so on and so forth. There is a tracker that is placed in between all the players. It will show you what round you're on, as well as what cards you're taking and from where. So you don't have to keep up with that from round to round. The game does a good job of doing that for you. So like I said, in a round, all players will simultaneously draw the cards that they are told to do so from that middle track. Typically, it's either going to be some cards from Tokyo, some cards from Kyoto, or you're picking up a pile of cards that your neighbors have passed to you. You'll look at these cards, you'll either play one or two of them depending on what round you're in, and then you'll pass off the other ones face down to the next player for them to look at later on. These cards are going to have a variety of things on them. So they're going to have one of the five experience types. They might have multiple icons of that. So you might be experiencing both food and a temple, or food and shopping, or nature and a temple, or a unique experience and food, whatever it may be. So you're going to have those different things that you can collect, which are going to move your experience tokens up the track to give you more points at the end of the game. There's also a chance that you will not have any cards that you like. So when you're selecting your card, and again, this is all simultaneous, so you'll each pick a card, place it face down, and then reveal and place when at the same time. You might say, I'm actually not going to do that. I'm going to go on a walk. So you'll get a different card, which you'll put face down into your itinerary, which marks that you're going to be going on a walk during that part of your stay. And you will get to flip that card over at that time. You don't know what it is, in the same way that you might go exploring during your trip and you just happen to stumble upon something. I will say, as we go through this, that is something that is almost a requirement, unless you're just dealt the kind of cards that you want, and definitely adds an element to the game. So don't sleep on the whole going for a walk part.
Going for a walk is great. I love walking.
You know, as someone who likes to really plan things out, it's really great in this game. But we'll come back to that later. After you've decided whether you're going to play a card or go on a walk, then you continue through the game. It actually clips pretty quick. So you'll draw new cards and kind of go through that same process, depending on where you're supposed to draw them from. As you're playing these cards, you're going to put them on a specific day. When you place the first one down, obviously that's the only one that's going to go in that slot. So let's say you're placing on a Tuesday, but then you might add another card. You will add another card to Tuesday at some point. You can decide whether to put the new card on top of or behind the card that's already there. So you're kind of shuffling up your itinerary of morning, afternoon, and evening. Once you have placed three cards on a specific day, you will get a day bonus, which I'm not really going to go into the specifics, but there are a variety of things that it does give you, and you kind of choose depending on how well you did for that day, lining up with the bonus, well, the featured element or experience of that particular day. Once all 6 days have been completed, meaning each of them have three cards, then it's time to actually experience your vacation. Players will take turns narrating out their experiences, scoring their points along the way. And I do highly encourage, while it's not required in the rules, that you do actually narrate out how each of your days go.
Yeah.
Because it really adds a story element, and it really gives a nice cherry on top to this thing that you have built. We have had an experience where Ian got upset and kind of said, well, I did this thing and it sucked. And I was like, well, that definitely ripped me out of the moment, but that's okay. I understand his frustration right now. So that I definitely would encourage.
I was tired at the end of my trip, and
you were.
I just yelled.
It was a bad day.
I
but
was
it's
burned.
Okay. Even on very good vacations, there can be bad days, which is okay.
That's right. That's right.
Points themselves will come from cards. Each of the most face-up card on each day will be able to potentially trigger a highlight of the day bonus, which could get you a combo point option. You will see how far along you are with each of your experience tokens on the track, which will determine the number of points for that. And then you also determine how relaxing and stress-free your vacation was. And if you did that well enough, then you will get points for that as well. That's a general overview of how to play. I did not give justice to the nuances that come with this game. So again, I would encourage you to check out how to play if you want to get more of a picture on that. But with that overview, let's go ahead and discuss.
Yeah, I mean, you just hit the highlights of the trip, which is what this game is doing.
That is what this game is all about.
This game, it's pretty wild what the art in this game and the cards are all. Most of the things are all specific to real things. If it's like a generic item, so like food, you know, it's a type of food like a ramen or, you know, whatever. I don't know all the different types, but there are specific cards in there. And if it does talk about something, there's a little blip under each. I think most of them, there's something under each picture and each name of card that talks about the history or the facts about the stuff that you're playing.
That's right.
And that is one of the most, I love that in games. It to me, and I would like to hear your opinion on it. Never, ever while playing this game did I find that even if it was like a long text box about a card, did I ever find it distracting? I never found it to be overwhelming or adding like distracting to my eyes or like, okay, why would that be? It's under the art, and then it's in between the art, and then the parts that you're really keeping an eye on and caring about is the icons on the bottom of the card and then the top of the card. So it's really right in the middle, but it's between the things that you don't need to see, because when you stack the cards on top of each other, you're either looking at the very top of the card or the very bottom of the card. So it's covered up most of the time, except when it's in your hand, if it's, you know, if you're waiting or if you're trying to decide, or at the end of the game when you do read about the cards that you've played or the places you've gone, then that's when you would read about it. And that's when I read about it. And also for the English speaker that I am, and I don't know any Japanese, you know, words or how to pronounce things, it has the English, you know, help me read this. And so that is incredibly helpful, just absolutely genius, incredibly well done on that part. And that's what I loved about like all this. And we'll get in, you know, I'll get into like the little details too, but just as a visual standpoint, everything is beautiful. It's simple. It's not cluttered. It's very accessible and efficient on all the icons. And once you started kind of getting into the game, all of those things were just easy to pick up at one point. Really, the hardest part for me was the strategy part. I didn't, like, once I figured it out, there was a couple questions we had about rules and stuff, but nothing like over the top. The rule book it was a little bit harder to find some specific things, but like overall, I never had issue with the learning like icons and stuff. It's very clear. It was more like, how do I play this game? Because I really don't know what I'm doing. And that was where I think there's a little bit of a learning curve. Not with the icons. I think those are very easy. I think the learning curve is how to play the game well. And I think that's always a plus. When you're talking about a learning curve on actual gameplay and just getting better at the game, I'd rather that than my learning curve is trying to find out all these icons and what they do. I'd much rather that. So anyway, that's my initial thoughts on this game.
So I definitely want to make sure that, and you've already hit some of the highlights on this, but the artwork is phenomenal.
Amazing.
I definitely felt like I was in, I don't want to say I was in Japan because I don't know that fully does Japan justice.
Right.
But I do feel like as I was doing this pretend world, I could visualize it because of the way that the art was created, both the softness of the art to give that very peaceful vibe, but also the life that came off of each of the cards. You know, I think about that one in particular. There's a go to see a concert card. And the vibe, the life that comes off, that just pops off the card, it's really well done. It's one of my favorite games as far as artwork goes, without question. And you mentioned the blurbs. One, I loved them. I thought they were great. I loved getting to learn a little bit about Japan. And I agree with you. They were not distracting at all. They were placed in the perfect spot to where they were not distracting. They did not get in the way of the game itself. But when I was going through telling my experience, or as I was waiting for other players to finish, I could sit there and read about it and be like, oh, that's a cool fun fact. So definitely a great idea. To the point, in that moment of the first game, I thought, I don't even care how this game ends up playing.
Yeah.
I want them to make more of these because this is such a cool way to learn about different places.
Yep.
Now, fortunately, I think it does play really well. So that hopefully adds to the potential that more come at some point.
Always a plus.
But no, I think the artwork was phenomenal. I think it really helps sell this game. In some ways, I joked, I was like, this game was kind of made for me because I love planning out trips and projects and things like that.
Right.
And it is basically a itinerary game, but having that piece at the end where you get to go through the vacation.
Yep.
I think that would be really lost if you didn't have the artwork to go along with it. It'd be a lot harder to tell that narrative.
Yeah, it makes the game.
So, and I know we talk about it a lot, especially when it doesn't pop up and when it's a critique, we bring this up a lot, but whoever just designed the layout of the cards did a phenomenal job, whether that was the artists or the designer or whoever. I just think that was so important for being able to see what you needed to see and for it to stack on the boards the way it needs to stack, but still being able to appreciate all that's on the card.
So since we're talking about that, I guess this is AEG.
It is.
I feel like I'm coming back on AEG for like a while. I was buying a lot of their games, and then now I'm finding a couple games that are on my list to buy now. So I might be hopping into AEG here, because a game that I will be purchasing is Ready Set Bet. Another one that they're also kickstarting. They're doing a lot of Kickstarters right now, and that's totally fine. I think that's cool. They did Point City. And then another one is the Undergrove. I think it's Undergrove. So it's called with Elizabeth Hargrave. And we've talked about her. And so that game looks fascinating. I love her. And I'm glad that she's able to make more games. And then they're doing it. It's called Undergrove. And that'll be coming out. It'll have retail versions. I love the fact that it is not just Kickstarter exclusive, that they are making retail versions. This is just it's part of their initial release process. And I think that's really genius. I think that's a good marketing thing, but also if hey, I wanted to back this, I didn't want to spend extra on it, I didn't want to pay extra shipping on it, I'll get it when it comes out in retail, but I'll see how people talk about it. It's a very smart business. I think it's working well. I've had my own quibbles with Kickstarter. If you've listened to this,
to be
this
kind
podcast, you know, but I have backed three projects in them in the last year and a half. So I'm sticking to it. And so I like upgraded tokens, and we'll get to that here shortly on some of that stuff here. But
I feel like AEG has been great for a long time. Like even before Kickstarter really was a big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the ones that pumped out Smash Up, you know, games like you mentioned Point City and Point Salad.
Yep.
But they've had other ones too. Like everyone's talking about Cascadia a lot. I know Calico had a moment in the sun, and Space Base did too. So they have a lot of good games.
And they have a wide diversity of games, in my mind, of some very easily accessible game, where this game, I think, is going to hit a little bit deeper. Ready Set Bet is like a party-esque game. And then you have the Undergrove, which I think is going to be very more strategic. So a good range of different games for different people. That's what I like. It fits kind of more of what my group is. So
yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's interesting, too, because I look at like AEG's lineup, and there's not anything that I look at and I'm like, okay, that game just blew me away.
Right.
But I will say that I don't have a lot of games from AEG where I'm like, that was trash. Mm-hmm. Like, they're solid games. Yeah. So I'm in on AEG. I like what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then we talked about the artwork, and there's a lot of designers. I mean, or designers. There's a lot of artists. There is one designer.
Yes.
And this designer.
That is all very true.
Yeah. This designer is Josh Wood, who has done, I think he did Tiny Towns was AEG, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
He did Tiny Towns, and then Santa Monica. Was that also AEG? Santa Monica was another one that he designed, and both of those are highly
rated.
That
was also AEG.
Yeah.
Yep.
So highly rated, both of those. So he works with them in a way. I don't know if he works for them, but he works with them. All good things there. I think this is incredibly well done. The artist that I, you know, watching some interviews with him, he had either a lot of friends that he had that lived in Japan or, you know, or that are from Japan, whatever. They did a lot of the artwork on this. So it's very, you know, original and authentic, and it feels authentic to me. I haven't been there, but it feels very, like you were saying, it just has that kind of vibe that's very chill, relaxing, calming, especially like the places and the temples. Very calming, relaxing, and so that's so cool. That I feel like this game encompasses so much. And like you said before, if they were to do Let's Go to Russia, like I'd be buying it right now.
Yeah,
like 100%, because what they did with this project is so clean, so simple, but also so just delicately, beautifully done, that not a lot of games do it this well in my mind. I they definitely killed it on the whole aesthetic and the wholeness, yeah, of how this game looks and plays together. That relationship there is very, very well done.
Agreed. I do want to make one quick correction for you.
Yeah.
So he did not do the base game of Tiny Towns.
Okay.
That was actually Peter McPherson.
Gotcha.
But he did come on board to help out with several of the expansions that Tiny Towns has.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
Yep. So just to clarify that, I want to put credit where credit's due and all that. So anyways, so that's AEG, and we've talked about the designer a little bit, and we've gushed over the artwork because it's awesome. But the game itself, what are some specific things that you like about this game?
Oh, man.
What draws you in, buddy?
I will always love simultaneous play.
Completely agree.
I love games that, especially if you go from one, and this game is 1 to 4, and then if you have a certain version, it goes to 5. But if no matter the amount of players that you're playing with, the game is relatively the same time frame. And the reason for that is the simultaneous play. But I love games that do that. On top of that, I love card drafting games. And on top of that, I love great art in games. And on top of that, I love an engine builder, which this game is kind of doing. So it does so many things. Is the cards that you play at the beginning of your trip will score you points and help your cards later on in the week. And so that kind of engine building in a way is a fascinating ability and to kind of plan. And again, it's all playing around the planning a trip. It's very fascinating how this all ties together. But the stuff that you play at the beginning of the day will affect the stuff that you do at the end of the week. Or sorry, the beginning of the week affects the stuff that you're doing at the end of the week. Let me say that correctly. The way that the icons and the cards, they're very balanced, is that this card, you know, costs you energy and happiness, but it's a very strong point card, or it gives you a lot of symbols, but it caught, you know, it does every card that they did a lot of playtesting in my mind on these cards, because it's like, man, this card doesn't seem very good, but it's cheap. It gives you one icon and it gives you other things. The bonus is really good or something. Like, just the way all the cards intertwine is just really, 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 really neat. And again, like I was saying with that engine ability, you're just constantly, as you're reacting to what card you're drawing, you're looking at like, okay, what do I do with this? How do I build this into my future? And you're trying to predict a little bit, but you're reacting and that strategic and tactics, like that, the classic strategic versus tactics on and reacting to what's happening, but also having a long-term strategy, is something that I always love in a game. And this game like brings it full force, You're like, okay, this card's really good. It's not really built into my plan right now. It's really in Tokyo, and I'm really in Kyoto my entire trip. but I have to play this card because it matches everything. And so you have to, you know, and again, I don't know if I think you mentioned this, but anytime you switch between inside your trip, when you flip between Kyoto cards and Tokyo cards, you have to have a train, and you have to have a train token there at some point. And if you don't collect enough trains throughout the game, you'll have to take negative points at the end of the game if you don't have enough, you know, that you've collected throughout. And so that's a really, you can't just keep flip-flopping between each city. You can't do that because you're going to lose a ton of points that way. And so, but what happens is the cards in Tokyo sometimes go really, really good with a Kyoto card, but you're not there. And so you have to decide. Like, it's such an interesting, massive game-changing decisions happen every time you pick up two cards. Like, it's like, dang, where do I go with this? And so it's, there's so much in this game. I can't even, like, on a podcast, it's really hard to, like, get through all this, but the more I play it, the more I'm fascinated by the decisions, honestly, you know, and it's just so, so interesting. I'm curious of what you think about all that.
Okay. So first off, I'm completely with you that simultaneous play is incredible. I am absolutely always impressed whenever I do simultaneous play, because it, like you were talking about, it, player count in a way gets taken out of the equation. You're getting to enjoy everybody at the table. It's all moving at the same time. Someone might move a little slower than everybody else, but for the most part, you're chugging along at that same pace, which I love. And it just, again, it takes away any downtime that you're worried about when you're passing yourself turns around the table. So simultaneous play is moving up in the world of my life of mechanics that if it has it, there's a much better chance that I'm going to love it. So very happy about that. I think for me, I like, well, it sounds so boring when I say it out loud, but I just really like I don't know, there's something about planning out this excursion, this trip that we're about to go on, that from a thematic standpoint just really draws me in. And I was very surprised at how into it I got. And I started, so with games like this, it is very easy to fall into the trap of going after the theme instead of the mechanics that will be most optimal. And I found myself at times getting frustrated because I was like, I don't want to do this after this. I want to do that. But this scores me several more points. And so right. I really enjoyed that wrestling of, do I go for theme or do I go for optimization? And then there was like, I don't want to jump on a train to go for one card and then have to jump back over. Right. Like, that's ridiculous. Right. Who would do that?
Yep.
But sometimes that's what you got to do. So I love the tug, the push and pull of the decisions that you get to make. But I also like that, I like what the walk does. So as someone who does not stop enough in real life and just go for a walk on his vacation. I take lots of walks at home.
Go for a walk.
I do that. At home, I go for a walk. But when I'm on vacation, I'm like, I have to optimize this. So, but what I have grown to appreciate in this game is I can say, these options suck. I'm just going to go for a walk instead, and we're just going to see what happens. And it lets me not move out of the side of the game that I'm on. So if I'm in Kyoto, I'm not screwed because I can just go for a walk in Kyoto and everything's fine. And I might find something really great. Who really knows? So the going for a walk mechanic is really great and really mitigates the whole, I didn't get the cards I want, so I didn't win. Because I think that you can go for the walks, and if you time those walks right, you're going to overcome the few bad card draws that you get. So I really am drawn in by that mechanic as well. I just think it's so well done, and it's so creative to be both thematic and overcome a very consistent problem in card games.
Man, the theme, I don't want to make a bold statement because this is a fresh game.
Be bold. Be bold.
I don't know if I have seen a game and the theme just be so beautifully woven together on how it's basically like the theme that you're playing is the game and the game is the theme. I'm trying to think. There are plenty of other games that are very thematic and that work. And I'm a sucker for a good theme that is really molded into the fabric of the game itself. So this is hitting a lot for me. But I don't know. And again, this, I'm not saying this is like my favorite game of all time or anything. Let's just be clear. But it's just so masterfully done. It really is. I'm flabbergasted. I don't know. I can't think of another game that does it better. I don't know.
No, I hear what you're saying. And I appreciate and love the amount of passion that's like you're flailing all over my computer screen as we talk back and forth. It's really funny. Just the passion that's flowing through your veins as we discuss this game.
I mean, the walks, like you're saying, are the more I think about the walk, it's like, man, it's such an annoying thing to do in the game. But then you're like, but it makes so much sense. It's like I can't do this because that, you know, when you're on a vacation, you can't do everything. You can't be like, okay, well, Right. Let's go to over here and then way over here at the in the middle. Like, that's a waste of time. You have to book stuff together. And then you're like, let's just go for a walk. Why yeah. not? It fits so well. It fits so well. And then maybe you find something that you really love. Like, I've gone, like I said before, we were in Boston on a trip. And again, we planned on going to the aquarium, but we're like, nah. And we walked and we found an experience that we got to go on this little like racer boat out in the bay. And it was one of the favorite things that I did that entire trip. It was so fun. That's what we took a walk. We took a walk and it was great.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because I think another element of this game that really it kind of that thought was triggered when you said that you can't do everything. I really like that this game measures your happiness and your stress level throughout the game.
Yeah.
Because you can't do everything. And if you try and just load it up, then you're going to melt in stress and it's not going to be a good time anyways.
Right.
And so adding that in as an aspect that you have to keep up with. And it's not just this like, oh, well, I have to feed my people kind of feel where it's like this requirement, but doesn't actually do anything for me. The fact that it potentially rewards you points is a very nice way of handling that as well.
Agreed. Yeah, it is. Again, that whole the theme is really tying in. You've got the trains that you have to use between the cities. The happiness track is great. And I consider like the happiness slash like energy. It says happiness, but it's like also that energy too. I consider it kind of a dual use word there for that track, because if you're just doing all this intense stuff, you're drained and you're unhappy and you're tired. And so
yep.
it's a very neat, again, that just the little details that they add into this that really kind of encompass the whole thing and bring it all together. Like, sure, playing some cards and stuff is great. And then if you go on a trip, but like the happiness part of it, it's a nice balance of every, you're kind of managing. You are managing a lot in this game, in my mind. If you're going to try to do it well, there's a lot to look at it and a lot to pay attention to. And I guess I'll get to that in my final thought of like that part. But as far as what this game's like lacking, like it's not a lot. Like you have a lot of decisions to make. There's a lot of decisions. Yeah,
that's true.
And the one thing that I would say like that you're not getting a lot of is player interaction. There's a little bit. The interaction is that somebody's handing you cards and they're taking cards that you wanted. Besides that, there's not a whole lot of like messing with other people's stuff. That doesn't happen in this game. And so that's kind of, I mean, am I missing any? I don't feel like I am, but
no, I think that's pretty much it. So I think that they do a good job of giving you a variety of different cards. And I wanted to mention this too, because I think this is a cool little piece before we finish up with things that we think the game might be lacking, which obviously we don't think is a lot. Because we've been gushing over it for a long time now, which is great. But one of the cool little, this is a little nuance thing that I picked up that I really like. So there are multiple cards in the deck that go to the same location.
Yep.
But they give you different point options depending on which of the cards that you draw. So we can go to Tokyo Tower and you might get points for one way of experiencing it. And I might get it and go at different time and get a completely different experience, which is just like real life.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a really cool little nuance there to add, we're both experiencing this thing, or I'm going multiple times and experiencing it in different ways.
Yep.
But you're not having to overwhelm your design with all these different locations.
Exactly. And so, and that is specific to the highlight of the day is different. I think
that's right.
From what I know is that the icon at the top is the same for that card. And so, but the highlight of the day, which is at the bottom of the card, and that's those bonuses that you get, are the ones that are being like all arranged. So it adds, so you get the balancing of like, you have the same amount of this card that gives you this. And so they balanced it well, but then the bottom of the card is where that bonus is, like every single, like you said, that experience is different. And then that's the highlight of the day. And so again, if it's like, if you make it your highlight of the day, it's going to be different than my highlight of the day, even though we went to the same place, which again,
right. Theme,
just, oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. That was genius. Whoever came up with that idea, I don't know if Josh Wood is an absolute genius. I don't know.
Genius.
But whoever was on this project, top to bottom, kudos. Absolutely kudos. Because the way they intertwined that was perfect. Because that I love. How many games have we played, though, where it is a card game and it does have the same name cards and it just does the same thing? That
exactly.
I want this. I would rather this, and this is a beautiful way to do it and a better way to do it than to just have the same card. Oh, we played the same card. Oh, like, you know, where did you go? Oh, we went to the tower. Oh, well, I went to the tower and it's the same bonus. You know, like, oh, it's just, you know, it's way better to talk about when on my trip, my bonus gave me something different. Like, that's awesome. And again, when we play this game, we read the each card. What, you know, if we don't know it, then we talk, you know, read the little, you know, text about what it is, where, you know, what it does. And then we also, you know, read out all the bonuses. And so when they're all different, every single card's different in its own way, then that adds to the experience of all of it. So perfect, like perfect in that regard on whoever designed the cards like that.
So we didn't have a lot of critiques. I think I mostly agree that there's not a lot to complain about in this game. I will say that, and I can't decide if you and I were just overcomplicating it or the way the rule book was laid out. I did feel like we went in and kind of stumbled over ourselves trying to figure out some of the many bits and pieces in the game,
mm-hmm.
and where they all went and how that, and I don't know. I can't, that might have just been us overcomplicating a simpler concept than it needed to be. Cause once we got it, we're like, oh, this makes perfect sense. Why was this so difficult to pick up the first time?
Yeah.
Cause these are all mechanics that we recognize, but for whatever reason, putting them all together on the first pass did prove to be a little bit difficult. So I don't know if that was just us or what it might have been, because I don't think in any of the plays after that we had any problem. And we, you know, I even felt like going into subsequent plays, I was like, okay, I know what I want to do in this game. I know what strategy I'm going for.
I think out of the critiques I have, I don't think the rule book is laid out well. There's a little extra art and stuff in there, and I think it's beautiful, but it's distracting, especially inside a rule book. It's just not labeled super well on where I want to find stuff. Like, I had a question about something and I'm like, it's talked about in three different areas and I don't know. It's just, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way it is written. My brain didn't work, but I, you know, we were both kind of looking at it in a way. It's not a deep rule book. I mean, you're looking at like maybe eight pages of actual rules. And then there's some like examples, a lot of examples. Maybe there's too many examples. I don't know. But there's large portions of like an entire page that's just all example. And maybe that's what it was. It's like I'm looking at a part that I'm trying to find the rule to. And then there's like this big example in the way. And then I have to like skip around. So I don't know if that was it or not. I don't know. But I do think the rule book helped, like, made it challenging at times to find exactly like a specific rule that we were looking for. I think that was part of it. And yeah, I mean, I think over trying to find something more complicated than it probably was.
I'm with you. I like the art that's in here, but I just wish that flavor text and art like this would kind of move to the cards and the game itself and let the rule book. I'd love to have bigger text that I'm kind of be able to find what I'm looking for instead of it all being scrunched in. And so I don't know. It's just little stuff like that. But I mean, I'm nitpicking.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, this game is great. And I'm kind of moving into final thoughts with this. Truthfully, I was blown away. I truthfully came into playing this game for the first time thinking it's probably going to be like a 6.5 or a 7.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be an okay game. I like the concept, but I've never felt like I've gotten a good vacation game before.
Uh-huh.
Because it's so hard to measure well someone going on a vacation.
Yeah.
Because that's so like broad.
Right.
Depending on who you are. And so I've always been like, well, they've never really come up with a good vacation game, at least that I've experienced. So I'm kind of like, whatever. I was hooked immediately.
Turn two.
Oh, yeah. Totally in.
After
once I got past
cards,
tripping
turn
over
two,
myself.
Meaning you're playing your second card.
Yes. And I'm like, okay, no, I get it now. Now that I've tripped over myself and I'm here,
yeah.
I'm all in.
Yep.
So very much loved it. Had a great time with it. Loved this going through the story at the end of what I had built. That was great.
Yeah.
So I have, it's funny because it's one of those things where I have, so it's like Wingspan going all the way back to episode 2.
Here we go.
Where I have so few to no bad things to say about it.
Yeah.
I don't think it deserves a 10 or anything like that, but I do think it deserves a solid 8.25.
Oh, you're already like, right. I think you're just going to give it these numbers now. All right.
Yeah, we're here, man. We're in final thoughts. That's what we're doing.
Sounds great.
So I'm giving it an 8.25. If you ever want to play this, if anyone ever wants to play it, I think I'm down.
Yeah.
It flows so well and so quick that you can play this game. And you could then play it again, or you could play something else. Like, it definitely fits into a game night where you're playing multiple games.
For sure. I mean, so I'll give my thing, and then we'll talk quickly before we close about, like, time and, like, all that real quick. But I agree with you. So we've talked about Wingspan. I've mentioned too many times on this podcast.
Yeah, that's
and
okay.
It's not even my favorite game. It's just, like, it's such a good game, like you said.
Yes.
It's not a 10. Because there's other games I like more than it, but it is so masterfully perfect game. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. And I haven't played this game like a ton because we just got it and we played a good amount of it, and I've played some more games. I'd be curious of how I feel like when I play it like 100 more times, and I think I would feel even stronger on what I'm about to say, but this game is just a very well perfectly rounded game. There's not anything wrong with it. Like, it does everything that it's supposed to do, everything that it wants to do, and it's fun and it's exciting, but it's short. Like, everything you want. Yeah. It's not a super deep, complex, like, heavy game, but there are some big decisions that if somebody like me, that I can walk into a gaming night and somebody's kind of a newer gamer, I can bring this to the table and be totally fine, because you can play this very casual, or you can try and get all the perfect combos that you want, and you're both going to have a fun time with it, like, in my mind. And so that anyway, after all that, I'm going to give this game a 9.
Oh, because, nice.
Yeah, I just think, and it's not like my favorite game, but it is on top of the list right now just because it's hot in my mind. But this is a very, very, very strong game. And even, you know, you look at BGG, it's a 7.7 already, and the game just came out. It's got strong reviews already, and I could see this. So it's a strong game for sure.
I really hope that this game catches on. I want more of this game in different countries. I want to be able to explore different places through this concept, because I think it is such a good vehicle to be able to experience different parts of the world through knowledge and art and that sort of thing. And I'm excited for when the girls are a little bit older and they're learning about different countries, and I can say, okay, we're on Japan right now. Let's sit down and play this game and have it be a learning experience and a good family time. So I really hope this game does well and catches on.
And again, real quick, time we played this game after a couple plays. I mean, we're knocking down 30 minutes.
At two players. I think it's closer to the actual time on the box of 45 if you have four players, which is the max count. Yeah. But at two, definitely you can get it in under half an hour, which I'm all about.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're playing multiple games if this is your headliner. On top of that, it is 1-4, but so this was a Kickstarter. The Kickstarter was 1-5 players because it added a player thing. It also added the mini expansions. I would assume that you could at some point buy the fifth player stuff. I would guess.
I don't know, man. Everybody's different about that. So you might be weirdly flexing right now for no reason.
I don't know. Regardless, 1-4 is great. And the fifth player, we haven't played it with five. I'd be curious. I think the fifth player would be interesting. But 1-4, this game worked great. Again, that player interaction, not a whole lot there. But also, there are mini expansions that you'll be able to purchase that came with the Kickstarter. So if you find that. The Kickstarter also had all wooden tokens. That's just whatever. They're great. I mean, I love wooden tokens. But
they are great.
They're big, chunky tokens. But besides that, the cards are the same from Kickstarter. And the game is the same. The only thing the Kickstarter has is the big chunky wooden tokens and a little like odds and ends stuff, but nothing like that. You really, if you buy the base game that you can pre-order now as of this episode and that will be coming out this year, it'll be the same game, mm-hmm. except for the mini expansions, which there's a little passport thing that gives you a little special ability before really either during the game or before the game. And then there's a day trip, which it basically adds Sunday to the trip. And you play one more card. It doesn't add three more rounds. It only adds one more card, and you do it at the beginning of the game. So it doesn't even really add a whole lot of time element to it all. It just gives you some other scoring bonus options. And so those are great. I enjoyed those. But besides that, the difference between a retail version and then the other stuff is lack of the minis and the tokens, and you can buy the minis separately. So,
and definitely complete fluff, because it is mainly a card game. So
right, and all the cards, there's no like, there's some alternate art cards that are in the Kickstarter, but the cards are the same. Like,
right,
you're gonna have the 160 based on what they're saying. So you're gonna have all the cards, and so that's great. And so that, you know, you don't feel like you got, you know, shorted anything by buying the retail. And again, applaud to AEG. I like that model. That's what I want. If I didn't want all the fancy tokens, then I still want your game with all the other stuff in it. And that's a great way to do it, and a great way to incentivize kind of both. If you don't like Kickstarter and don't want to do it, then you don't have to. But also, if you want Kickstarter stuff, then here's a bunch of extra nice pieces. And that's what I want. I want, when I Kickstart, I want the nice pieces or stuff. So besides all of that, we both love this game, it sounds like.
Yes. So definitely a ringing endorsement for sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you all for listening to our gushy, mushy, convoluted episode of Let's Go to Japan. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to all of our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, and to Anna Snyder, who made the music. Join us next week as we venture back over to the kids' table and discuss Quacks & Co. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
And eat your ramen and take risks and eat more ramen and go on a trip and
and don't forget to go back and check our party episode, because we have not reached 15 mentions in Discord yet, which you know, if you're a local to Nashville or if you want to visit Nashville, there's a special treat that comes, so please check that out.
That's right. Yeah, please. Jared made a promise, so take advantage.
I have.
If you missed it.
My wife is aware of it, and she's on board.
That's right.
All right. I'm turning this thing off.